Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Dr. Bobby Braun, Chief Technologist at NASA. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Randy Simpson.
Innovative research and technology tied to exciting missions with national importance is a strong motivator. NASA has a unique ability to attract and motivate many of the country's best young mind in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. What is NASA doing to facilitate, attract, retain, and ensure you have a well-trained and technical workforce able to meet both the challenges of today and the opportunities of tomorrow?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something that I am very attuned to. As you mentioned, you know, I came to NASA through educational opportunities. My own interests were sparked at a young age, but it was some of NASA's educational programs that drew me even closer to the aerospace sector and eventually drew me into NASA itself. I do agree that NASA has perhaps a unique place within the federal government to inspire young people into these fields, into fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's certainly something that we need to do. The NASA administrator, General Charles Bolden, is very clear on this. He speaks on this topic often. He reminds us of the importance of this metric to society often. Now, what are the things that we can do? Well, one of the things that we can do, frankly, is to invest in our future. If you're a student in a university today and you're interested in the space program, you're probably not so interested in the very next mission that we're about to launch. But you might be interested in the technological investments that we are making today that are going to enable missions 10, 20 years in the future. You're interested in those investments, A, because they're exciting, and B, because those are the missions that you're actually going to work on when you're at NASA or when you're in the aerospace industry. I was speaking with a group of students the other day, and I realized that if you're a junior in college today, if you're about 20 years old, these students that are 20 years old today in our nation's universities will be my age in 2035. 2035 is important because in 2035, the president talked about sending humans to orbit Mars and return them safely to Earth. Now, in NASA, we talk about 2035 as a long-term goal. But to these students I was speaking to, they'll be in the middle of their career. You know, so if you're a student in the nation's universities, if you're a middle school student who's thinking about a career in science, technology, engineering, or mathematics, then this renewed focus that NASA has in technology and innovation is probably very exciting to you. And it's probably something that will pull you into the aerospace sector, possibly into a career with NASA, or possibly into a career with another part of the aerospace sector.
Bobby, I'd like to transition to the future. NASA was pursuing a single human exploration future. Now, some had noted that that investment left little opportunity for space technology research. With the advent of the Space Technology Program, the future now seems to hold a host of possibilities and opportunities. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges you envision for the future, and how do you envision your office adapting or meeting those challenges?
I am incredibly excited about the potential that NASA has to be a contributor to society and to be a contributor in these grand challenges in aeronautics, science, and exploration. In exploration, I think our future is quite bright. We're not talking about staying in low Earth orbit. We're not talking even about going back to the moon, a place that we were many decades ago, frankly. We're talking about going out into deep space to do things that no one has ever done before. NASA was created to accomplish engineering firsts. The first time that we sent humans to the moon, the first time that we, in cooperation with our international partners, as one world, built this engineering marvel called the International Space Station that has been permanently inhabited for a decade. NASA is in the business of these firsts, and for human exploration, the idea of sending humans to an asteroid out in a deep space, to sending them one day to Mars, possibly one day to the surface of Mars, these are fantastic grand challenges of the future. In our science missions, the ideas of life on other planets, the ideas of life within our solar system, being able to answer these kinds of questions is within our grasp. I believe it's within our grasp within my lifetime. But what we need, both in human exploration and in the science missions to make these things happen, is we need to continue to advance in technology. Investments in technology will enable these missions in aeronautics, science, and exploration. But these investments in technology will also enable a better future for us here on the Earth. We'll be able to use these investments to solve some major societal problems, challenges in energy, in health and wellness, in transportation. These are all spin-off areas, if you want to use that phrase, that the space program has contributed to in the past. And if we continue to make investments in research and technology, the space program can continue to contribute to in the future. There's incredible intellectual talent in the aerospace sector. And that, I'm talking about people both within the government and within industry and academia. And while those folks are passionate and turned on about aerospace, they all want to make the world a better place. And I think that through the research and technology program, we should be able to take a very small slice of those people and use some of their time, not just for aerospace solutions, but to solutions to some of our nation's other grand challenges.
And from your perspective, where you sit as a chief technologist at what is probably considered the agency that presses innovation the most, these emerging technologies in areas like IT, mechanical systems, propulsion, power, data storage, do you see things that have your interest? They've piqued your interest. Hey, this is an area we're really going to look at because I can see something that's real here.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, I could talk for a half hour on that question. But let me just give you a couple of examples, all right? There's no doubt that for NASA's missions, there's no doubt that access to space is a major cost, a major risk, and that, you know, we need to do that. We need to access space in a more sustainable manner. Whether we're talking about government programs or emerging commercial markets, you know, getting up into space is one of the barriers that we need to overcome. And so technological advancement in that area, I think, is a big deal. In-space propulsion would be another one. Once we're in low Earth orbit, you know, how do we get out to geosynchronous? How do we get to the moon? How do we get to Mars? We can do so in a much more efficient way. We really need to make investments in-space propulsion. If we're talking about energy storage technologies for our space program, those certainly affect us here on the Earth. You know, just take a look at what we're doing now on the Earth with fuel cells, right? And with hybrid automobiles and eventually plug-in automobiles, right? These kinds of technologies are very important, both if you want to have a rover on Mars that operates through the night, and if you want to have an efficient set of ground transportation vehicles to help society at large.
Bobby, you've shaped the minds of future leaders. And with that, what advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about a career in public service?
Well, first of all, depending how old they were, first of all, I'd say go to school. The educational opportunities that I've had have been a tremendous asset to me in the course of my career. Second of all, I'd say do something in your career that you're passionate about. I don't care whether you work, frankly, on the next airplane or the next automobile or an improvement to the cell phone, but, you know, do something that you're passionate about. Too often in our country, we talk about money, and we push people into career directions for financial reasons. And I understand that as well. But I really believe that you need to be passionate about your work and you need to be passionate about your career because you're going to spend an awful lot of time doing that. And so you really ought to love it. Third, I'd say help build the future. In my case, help build the future through technological innovation, through technological solutions, and do so with an eye towards changing the world. If we want to, we can all change the world. We just have to try.
Oh, I've had a wonderful time with today's conversation. I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, Randy and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed being on your program here today. Thank you for having me.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Bobby Braun, Chief Technologist at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. My co-host from IBM has been Randy Simpson. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.